Welcome to Film Fight Club. I'm Glenn Falkenstein from Falcon Screen, and we are joined by freelance writer and critic Virat Nehru.
Hello, people.
And Sydney filmmaker Chris Evans.
Hello.
Now, we are into film festival mode, and we have one of my favorite festivals starting tonight. It is a festival very close to my heart, and that is the Australian Irish Film Festival. It kicks off tonight at the Penrith Gales Club, and tomorrow night through Sunday, it will be screening at the Chevelle Cinema in Paddington. And we are very lucky to have the festival director with us, Dr. Enda Murray, to speak about this year's program. Enda, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Glenn. Good to be here.
So it is the fourth year. I have been very fortunate enough to see the festival grow and become bigger and becoming the amazing thing it is now. Tell us about this year. Are you excited for this year's program?
Yeah, I'm really excited. We've got some great films, and we're screening in Sydney this week again, and then we're off down to Melbourne. So, yeah, we are expanding, slowly expanding. So that's all good. We've got a fantastic program this year. It's the 20th anniversary of the peace process in Northern Ireland. So we've got four films, which deal with the legacy of the troubles in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely. It's very important. And I know it ranges from dramas to documentaries. And I know the first film, the opening night film, is a historical drama which deals with this exact issue, as I understand.
Yeah, so we've got four films, and we've got a range. We've got a drama, Maze, which is a dramatization of the 1983 mass breakout from the Maze prison in Northern Ireland, and there were 31 prisoners escaped. Now, the film, it's kind of like looking at the personal relationship between the head of the prisoners and the head prison warden. So it's quite a good character piece, and I really like it because it's not a kind of flag waving nationalist piece, which you think it might be could descend into. But no, it's quite a well observed observation of two men and part of their. The plot involves the prisoners gaining the trust of the warden and then breaking the trust. So it deals with human emotions, and it's got a great lead, Tom Vaughan Lawler. He's very well known to Irish fans because of his appearance in the Irish version of the Underbelly, which was called Love Hate.
Oh, fantastic!
But it's been breaking box office records in Ireland since its release in September last year, and it's been hugely popular on our Facebook up to now. So yeah, that's going to be a big one. And of course, we've got the legendary Irish Film Festival opening night party.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Irish refreshments and Irish finger food and some great music, and hopefully we'll have a bit of dancing as well.
Can I expect a bit of Guinness?
A little bit of Guinness, yes.
No,
I want to be launching into stereotypes here, but we will have a bit of Guinness or a bit of Jameson's. Yep, it's a fun night.
I'm there.
Yeah, it's good. It's my favorite beer, so I'm very excited. I enjoyed it thoroughly last year, and I can't wait for this year. But you're playing, someone does miss it on Maze on Thursday night, you're playing it again, aren't you? You're playing it twice.
Yeah, we actually sold out opening night, so we're putting on another screening on the Sunday, 22nd at 8:30.
Fantastic. Now, the next film is also along the lines of the same theme, but it's a very different. It's a documentary, and it takes us back 20 years to a very consequential event in Irish history, as I understand.
Yeah, so the documentary In the Name of Peace, John Hume in America, is a real landmark. I think it earns the name landmark documentary, and the film's director, Maurice Fitzpatrick, is coming over to introduce it. And he looks at Irish politician John Hume, who was called by President Clinton, he was called a Martin Luther King of the Irish problem. So John Hume grew up in Derry and became involved in civil rights, and followed the teaching of Martin Luther King and was a pacifist. So what he was very clever at was talking to people and persuading people. And he went over to the States and he got the American politicians involved in the Irish peace process. So they came, they got involved, and they forced the hand of the British really to come to the table. And so a master kind of strategist, and in a world where we despair sometimes of our politicians, it's wonderful to see a politician who's actually done a huge amount of good. So that's looking at John Hume and his work in America.
Fantastic. Now, changing tack ever so slightly, later that evening you have something on the other end of the scale, a comedy. Now, I was fortunate enough to visit Dublin a few years ago and learned a lot about the events of 1916, and this recounts the events and revisits the events, but in a bit of a roundabout way.
Yes, yeah, so The Flag is a comedy. There's a legendary comic, Pat Short, and he's the main man. So the story goes that he discovers that his grandfather raised the flag in the revolution in Ireland, and now that flag was taken and has now been held by the British Army, and it's hung upside down as in an officer's mess in England, which is kind of an insult to the Irish. So Pat and some of his buddies head off to steal back the tricolour. So
that's great.
It's a pretty, funny film. He's a very funny guy. So it does have a touch of comedy, all right. Well, it is a comedy. It's very funny.
Well, it's awesome because you've done really well with comedies in the past. I remember one you premiered last year has gone on to quite some success on Netflix. The one about the two fellows who go searching in the lake. For some illicit
That's right, Young
material?
Offenders.
Young Offenders, that's
and
it.
They've actually started, yes, they've got their own series now.
Oh, wow.
So that, yeah, that was a major achievement there. That was a remarkably successful film. They were great. They were the Little and Large, Laurel and Hardy crew. So, yeah, we've got, coming back to the, on the factual side, we're really happy. We have a film by Alex Gibney, who you may know from Going Clear, about Scientology, and also Alex Gibney did... he's actually won an Oscar for a film he made about a taxi driver in Kabul.
Yes.
But he also directed Enron, Smartest Guys in the Room. So we've actually got his latest... a documentary, and this is all of our films are Australian premieres, but this is the first time this has been seen over here. And this is it's a hard hitting investigation of a dreadful crime that happened in Northern Ireland in 1994, where six innocent men were shot dead in a tiny pub in a tiny village. And Alex Gibney has investigated this, and he's produced a riveting documentary in terms of the documentary form. It's really well made, and he's also uncovered new information on this dreadful murder. And he reckons that he has proved collusion between the British government and the paramilitaries who pulled the trigger. So. That's fantastic coup for us, and we've got the producer Trevor Burney coming to Sydney to introduce the film.
Yes, you do. I'm particularly looking forward to this one because we'll be chatting to Trevor later this week for the next program, which I'm looking forward
fantastic.
To. And I've always found Alex getting these documentaries very interesting, so this one I'm sure will be no exception.
Absolutely. Yep.
Now, changing tack again ever so slightly, we just had Friday the 13th, and I think people are in the mood for horror, and you have one particularly gothic horror, which is my favourite brand of horror, set in the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah, so the Lodgers is a film about two twins who live in a big house. And a big house is a particular feature of Ireland, a big house. The big house were quite often was built and inhabited by English landlords, and so they have this particular atmosphere, and also they're regarded by people as being not a part of Ireland. So I find this, in terms of deconstructing the film, that this is an interesting part of it. But it's a really nicely made film. It's got some fantastic cinematography. It's got Eugene Simon from Game of Thrones, David Bradley, who's Argus Filch in Harry Potter,
and
Bill Milner from Dunkirk. So it's got a great cast, and it's very scary. What more can you ask for a horror film?
No, you can't. It's a perfect thing for late at night. And for the people who maybe aren't so big horror fans, like myself, I am a big music fan and a big fan of Irish music. I was fortunate enough to catch the rural and regional tour of a Irish folk group who came out last year, and I think for fans of that, there will be one particular film which will be of some interest. I know it's about a real figure, but it's a dramatization. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's a dramatization of the remarkable life of a folk singer called Joe Heaney, who grew up in the west of Ireland, grew up speaking Gaelic in the Gaelic area, the Gaeltacht, he sung in the style of Sean Noce, which is unaccompanied a cappella. The film's really interesting because it dramatizes his life. So it uses actors to tell his story. And it's got some fantastic singers. I met the guys when I saw this film last year in Galway. The cast were there, and they are also singers themselves. So it's a really nice piece. It's made by Pat Collins. It's shot in black and white. It's got, I think it investigates where this particular style of music comes from, where's the inspiration for it, and the sound of it. And so it's it features Irish landscape and stone walls and wind and a bit of rain. Very atmospheric film, and really nicely put together.
Oh, beautiful. And also you have a film regarding the... I know so over the few years you've had films about people who've travelled, of the Irish community, that travelled from Ireland or travelled back to Ireland, and about the Irish diaspora, and you have a documentary focused on several Irish couples or families living in not just Ireland but the wider world.
That's right. And this is a film by a young man, Cathal Kenner, and it's called Coming Home. And it follows five Irish couples who want to move back to Ireland after living abroad for many years. So they up and they move, and Cathal follows them in their journeys back to Ireland. And there's actually one, a Dubliner, Vera Finnegan, who lives in Sydney, who's one of the people featured in the film.
Oh, beautiful. I love how there's a local dimension to, such a local dimension to Irish cinema and the festival in particular.
Yeah.
And you have a number of Australian shorts playing, well, not just Australian shorts, but some international shorts as well.
Yeah, so this year, for the first year, we've started a short film competition. So we're really keen on the idea of involving people in creating stuff and activating the Irish diaspora. You know, we hear it often enough that 30% of Australians have got an Irish background, I don't think that there's been an awful lot of Irish Australian films made, and want to give people a kind of a scaffold, you know, a ladder to climb up, and we've got some new filmmakers, so we've got an Australian prize, and then we've got an Irish prize. So we had some great films, short films, and we announced the winner on Saturday.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. And the last film of the festival is actually the one I'm most interested in, most looking forward to, which is The Journey. Now, I was reading about this and the historical background to it and what brought about the particular events in this film and why they had to go about what the journey they do in a particular way. It's just so fascinating. I'm really interested to see how they dissect this over the course of the film.
Yeah, it was a great premise. The director discovered that the leaders of the two factions in Northern Ireland, the Republicans and the Loyalists, whenever they traveled overseas, they needed to, they had to travel together. And this was a safety issue. It meant that basically none of the supporters of either side would try and kill the guy from the opposite camp if they're both in the same plane or in the same car. So this was the basic seed for this story. And it's got Martin McGuinness. It's a funny one. It's a fictionalized, and imagine the count of what would have happened when Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley were negotiating the peace agreement.
So yeah, I'm just thinking,
It's based on fact, but you got two great actors, Timothy Spall, who I love, and as Paisley, and Colm Meaney as McGuinness, and it's both hilarious and poignant in turn, and explores the relationship between these two guys. They were sworn enemies, but became known as the Chuckle Brothers, believe it or not, after the peace agreement was signed, because they got on so well together. So it was a real turnaround. And I suppose kind of the lessons that we have to learn from the peacemakers, and the lessons that this anniversary of the 20th anniversary of the peace agreement is that such intractable conflicts can come to an end. We never thought, when I was growing up in Ireland, I never thought I'd see the day where the fighting would stop, and it has. So I think there's there's lots of learnings in there for us, and reconciliation, and for conflicts around the world.
Indeed, and I'm certainly looking forward to exploring some of these themes and issues through cinema. Speaking of which, the festival kicks off tonight and tomorrow at the Chevelle for members of the Irish Australian community, or people like myself who just love Irish cinema or love a Guinness. How do we go? How do we get tickets?
IrishFilmFestival.com.au is the place to go, you can get your tickets there. We've got a very vibrant Facebook community too, but IrishFilmFestival.com.au.
Fantastic. So please do check that out. We will be there. Film Fight Club will be there if you want to come say hi and have a beer. Ender, it has been an absolute pleasure. Looking forward to sharing some wonderful Irish cinema with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Glenn. It's been a pleasure.
You good?
Rampage! Little help?
And this is Film Fight Club, and that was the second series of the wonderful FX series, or at least it was for a few seasons there, Archer, with his classic Rampage line, which is the perfect segue for the next film we're talking about.
Which is?
Isle of Dogs?
Yeah.
No, I did see this non-sequitur there. We're talking about Rampage, new film from the one, the only, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Now, how do I describe this film? Essentially... future president. You see, we joke about these things now, but we're going to listen back to this in a few years and just be wow.
I'm dead serious.
What would Vin Diesel do?
Not run for president.
You mean Vice President Vin Diesel? They're not getting along.
Yeah, they
exactly.
His first act in office will be the Kill Vin Diesel Act executive order.
Maybe he'll run for president because The Rock is running for president, and it'll be like a.
I would watch this movie.
Again, we predicted it first, but we are talking this week about Rampage, a new film with The Rock and Naomi Harris and Jeffrey Dean Morgan from The Walking Dead. And essentially, there's The Rock and there's a big gorilla, which gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And there are other animals that get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, this film actually had a really interesting opening sequence. If anyone saw the average film, a little less than average film Life last year, this felt like that whole film condensed into the opening bit, and this was the fallout from Life, where a thing, genetically bioengineered thing, crashes into the earth and releases a toxin which makes some animals, of course the craziest ones, transform. They call it genetic editing and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Virot.
That's like Annihilation, right?
Yeah, it seems to be a trend.
But this was a lot funner. I mean, this film...
It wouldn't be not be hard.
Look, this film, I liked it. It had absolutely no pretense. It was a big blow-em-up, stupid action movie. The Rock got to be The Rock at his best. We look back on Arnold Schwarzenegger films, all these classic ones, and, you know, there are some great ones, there are some average ones. This is kind of in the kindergarten cop territory where it's not one of his greatest classics, but you'll enjoy it. It's on TV, sure. If I didn't watch it back in 2018, I'll probably watch it as, you know...
I'd rather watch this than another Fast and Furious, to be honest.
Yeah, so would I. I'm so done with those series, those movies.
Can they just kill everyone off in that series?
What if the monsters from Rampage just tanked the cars, like that scene in Ready Player One?
Oh my God, that'd be so meta.
Oh God, the thing is, where can they go with the Fast and Furious series now? I mean, to outer space? Not even joking, they could actually...
Too fast for time. They have to go back and bring back to life the one who, spoilers, died, who I won't name.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm still backing Fast 9 from Outer Space, but...
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And so, well, we really got to try to take it from Rampage quickly. That was Rampage. It is in cinemas now. Either you get to see the film where The Rock fights giant... I don't know if we're spoiling it by saying which animals he fights. Essentially, an animal that...
It's in the trailer.
Yeah. Okay, essentially, an animal that isn't supposed to fly, that you find in, like, Wyoming-type territory, does fly. And there's another animal from the Florida territory where... You really don't want them being that big. And Archer would not be happy about it for the dedicated fans of Archer. That might be a little spoiler there if you've got up to season 4.
Damn all these American animals and people. America in general.
America's wonderful. I love America.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
Now, changing tack ever so slightly, we talked to Sophie Matheson, director of the film Sake, last week, and the festival took place over the weekend. There were a number of events, including the Giant Piano, over at Event Cinemas. They opened up the Addison Road Picture House for a big Fright Night triple screening, and one of the films that screened at the festival was Almost Heaven. Virat.
Yeah, it's a really interesting documentary. It's basically set in China in a mortuary, and this young girl who realizes the meaning of life by working in the most unlikeliest of places. It was a lot funnier than I imagined it would have been, actually. And you remember that TV show that HBO did, 6 Feet Under?
Yes.
Where all this family is going through life realizations.
With Dexter.
Michael C. Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like that, but set in China and a lot funnier.
I found it to be a little bit slight. Like it's, we found something interesting and weird about China. You know, teenagers working 24-hour shifts in a mortuary.
But that's the other thing, you know. This is like, you know, if you're talking about in a very kind of labor conditions, oh my God, people working insane hours. From a completely Australian lens, it's horrifying. But also,
yeah, it's insane. But the
also pretty funny.
To see how teenagers really keep their spirit.
And also just to see how, you know, people can work 24 hours and not die.
Yeah.
No.
It's definitely interesting. It seems like something that you'd catch on SBS.
It's the most
late at night, so keep an eye out.
Yeah, it's probably the least self-aware neoliberal capitalist film to be airing.
Whoa, what? And I can't tell if that's an endorsement or an indictment. But either way, this seems like a film you should probably have a look at.
It's pretty interesting. If the subject matter grabs you, then I would watch it.
Yeah, what is a 40-hour week? It's more like an 80-hour week, right?
It's a very, as you're saying, like not very, very grim film, given that it's about mortuary.
It has death, but like not in that way.
And that was Almost Heaven. The next one we're talking about quickly is MFA, The Revenge Artist, which was at the Addison Road Picture House Friday the 13th, Fright Night. Please do check out this venue. It is new and it is marvelous, and it's perfect to relax on beanbags and watch excellent films. This one starred Francesca Eastwood, which, yes, is the daughter of Clint Eastwood, and she has the same brilliant intensity that her father. She is excellent in every single scene in this film, and she elevates the film because it is a very clearly does not have a big Hollywood budget, but she has a screen presence that lifts it beyond the constraints of this film. It is a film about a young woman, her character, who responds to acts of sexual assault against herself and others in taking a vigilante approach, which also begins to inform her artwork. She is an art student, and this is when the film becomes really, really interesting in the sense that you have a contrast of the academic discussions of art with the extreme graphic elements which take place throughout. There are many other interesting elements regarding her relationships with others, including her roommate and classmates. It's a very thought-provoking film. It's a powerful film in many times, and I think it's one worth catching. I'm really glad I did catch it at the fest, particularly in that A very interesting environment. Please do check out the Edison Road Picture House. And the next one we're talking about is Marlena the Murderer, which Joseph screened for film's sake.
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting. It's a spaghetti western, essentially. It's all about revenge. It's all about desolate plains and bandits. But it's a feminist spaghetti western made in Indonesia about a woman who is, after the death of her husband, bandits come, you know, basically to rape and pillage, and she fights back. And the most of the film is about the bond she makes with a woman that she meets while she goes out seeking justice. And meanwhile, cross-cutting between other bandits who are trying to chase her down, leading up to an inevitable confrontation. It's very slow-paced, very long-held shots, but beautiful scenery, really kind of clever, quirky dialogue. It reminded me a little bit of an Abbas Kiarostami film, which is a very high compliment if you don't know his work. I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite movies from last year, from the top 10, and it really surprised me with how, like, as Westerns go, I feel that they really run through the paces a little bit.
This felt fresh.
This did feel a lot fresh, even though it's
going
different.
Yeah, even though it's going across territory that is very traditional, they still found a way to imprint something new on it. Beautifully
definitely
made,
worth a watch, yeah.
And not relishing in the violence, you know, even though violence is pushing the narrative along, which is usually what defines this genre. So a very interesting film overall.
And the next one we're talking about is Birthday Adjustment Disorder.
Yeah, because it's Friday the 13th, and I was staying away from anything horror-related. And
we've learned that Virat does not take too well to horror. I didn't see him there that night.
No, not at all. So while Glenn was out watching MFA, I was trying to watch something which was as far away from horror as possible. So I went to see Jed Malone's Australian micro-budget feature, Birthday Adjustment Disorder. It's as crazy and quirky as the title suggests. It's basically shot in this kind of mockumentary style. So this person invites a documentary crew to film a wedding themed birthday and what goes on during that time frame. It's an experience, and it's really funny. It's actually one of the most wittier scripts that I've come across, because it's got a lot of that snappy exchange of dialogue. And it's, you know, basically a group of people. It's like August Osage County, but if it was actually a comedy and not a drama.
Fantastic. And that gives us a segue into our next film, which is in cinemas now, Truth or Dare, which I saw last night. It stars Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars and the stars of some TV series, including Teen Wolf and The Flash. It is a story essentially where a group of college students, their last spring break, they go to Mexico, and they stumble across a circumstance where they play Truth or Dare, and then they find that they can't stop playing it. If they don't carry through on the game, then they will meet some quite gruesome ends. Now, this film works and doesn't work on a number of levels. It works because, like the best of horror or those anxiety-driven films, it feeds into our fear of having to come up against social niceties and what is expected of us. And for these emerging college students, when they have to do these truths or dares, which no one would ever want to do in a very public setting, it becomes very difficult. At the same time, it has that unfortunate fallback of many horror films where you basically know for at least half the film which characters are going to die first and in what order. It pretty well telegraphs these, and it telegraphs a few of the truths or dares.
Let me guess. Black, Asian, then older women. Am I correct, or am I still missing the point?
No, I think a little off of this one, but I do recommend seeing it. We can bring this up in the following week. That is in cinemas now, which is a terrible segue to our next segment regarding some of the tragic events of this week, including the death of famous director, Oscar-winning director,
Milos
Forman.
We've lost Milos Forman this week, who was the great director of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Amadeus. Had a very long and distinguished career. Started off as one of the key figures of the Czech New Wave with the Fireman's Ball, a very influential and funny satirical political film. As well as another great figure in cinema who's died this week is Isao Takahata, always the less famous director at Studio Ghibli after Miyazaki, but definitely his equal in terms of talent and vision. He made many great films. But the two for which I think he'll be most remembered are Grave of the Fireflies, a World War II tragedy, and the absolutely beautiful final epic he made, The Tale of Princess Kaguya. I recommend you seek them out.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for that. So this has been Chris Evans, Bright in the Rue, Glenn Falconstein. We'll be back next week talking about Avengers Infinity War, the biggest film of the year, arguably. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy movies. Good night.
Good night.
You shall be avenged.